In this session, I'd like to discuss intention.
Yes.
Because from your teachings, it seems that intention plays a very, very powerful role in the calibration of an organization, of an institution, of a business.
Yeah, the intention really sets the calibrated level.
I guess before we get into the research, perhaps we could talk a little bit about how intention does play into the energy that a person or an organization creates.
Yeah, well, the intention comes out of who the person is. So it's an automatic consequence. An integrous person has an integrous intention right to start with because that's who they have become. Therefore, they're just being who they are. So really integrous organizations merely reflect the consciousness level of the founders or the people who set up the ideology. That's why, sort of artificial intentions don't really hold up under fire. Put your money where your mouth is, as they say. Therefore, the integrity of the intention sets the paradigm for the whole organization. It pulls in that field of energy, and then everything is more or less modulated by that particular field of energy. And if something is discordant to the intention, it becomes quite aware of it. Just like decorating, let's say, something that's out of the style that you're of the intention. So it tends to be somewhat self-correcting.
Well, that's interesting. So that if something is not congruous with the intention of the business, somehow it will...
It tends to show itself, you see. Mm-hmm. It detracts from the overall impact.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I know one of the big examples you use in your work is Sam Walton and Walmart.
I became interested in him many years ago because I think he wrote a book or somebody wrote a book about him and, what his intentions were. It was the only store I knew that tried to achieve all the goals that he tried to achieve at the same time. And we calibrated him, back in the early 90s. I wrote about it in Power versus Force as an example, not because I'm, on the payroll of Walmart or something. There's other integrous organizations I could have written about just as well, But their styles were different. But his was like sort of homespun, middle America, traditional America.
Mm-hmm.
It was the world I grew up in. And to succeed, the shopkeeper presented the best merchandise and the best conditions. And they were cordial, integrous. And if there was something wrong with it, you just took it back and there was no questions asked. I thought that's the way the world ran, naivete. So, he set up certain, after all, he started in a small town, didn't he? Yeah. So he represents to me the upside of middle America.
Mm-hmm.
The upside of middle America is the backbone of the nation, frankly. Then it calibrated extremely high. So, I predicted long before I said, these integrists. And now it's the biggest corporation in the world. So to me, what's interesting is that it represents the power of integrity, see?
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been in other cultures where the prevailing attitude is if you don't screw the customer, you get beaten when you get home.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally true. I told you when I was up on a camel, they charged me $5 to go around the pyramids in this camel, Well, a camel, if you've ever been up on one, is way up there. It's not like a horse. I mean, it's higher than the ceiling. You aren't going to get down on your own. No.
Mm-hmm.
So when it was over, I wanted to get off the camel. Well, he said, $10. I said, $10. He said, $5 for the ride. He says, cheap American. And he just was very, very intense and nasty about it. And by God, he was going to work me for $10 or I was going to sit up there.
What did you do?
Well, of course, what I did. I paid $10 to get off the camel. But, that culture, that's the idea, see?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a different culture. In that culture, that is integrous. It's like paying an asking price. You'd be ashamed to tell your family that you paid the asking price.
Mm.
Because you're supposed to get a bargain, you're supposed to screw somebody and squeeze them for the last dollar. So in their culture, that's what goes. So they say when you're in Rome, do them as the Romans do. In other words,
Mm-hmm.
or understand how they are, you know, without making them wrong necessarily. It's sent out to you to run the world, turn the world over to God, because everybody's on an evolutionary scale. So, you know, that's a rudimentary level. So what you see, the difficulty in life in this world is that all different levels of consciousness are thrown together, helter-skelter. And they're not really compatible. People strain to make it compatible, global this and global that. That's all in their minds. Those people are not interested in global anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fantasy, naive, sort of sophomoric fantasy, you know.
So with our perception of globalization, and that it doesn't work, what's the answer?
It's sophomoric. It's sophomoric.
Mm-hmm.
Allow people to be who they are and evolve on their own, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't need your help, see. Well, you can put in your 2 cents worth, and of course we do all we can, education-wise and humanitarian-wise and medically. So compassion results in taking actions that are beneficial to the world. I think it was the Dalai Lama or so said, spirituality is not just praying for yourself, but doing the best you can to be helpful to the world simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
What you see to be helpful to the world depends on your own level of consciousness. A certain level of consciousness that says the best thing you can do to the world is mind your own business.
Mm. Now, you're not saying, though, not to bring food and clothing to the poor.
No, I just said it depends on your level of consciousness.
Right.
And if you have abundance and others don't, to not share it would be unnatural.
I see.
But that's unnatural because of who you are. To other people, it would be natural. See? So
it's not a matter of being apathetic.
No, apathy is a different thing. That's totally indifferent, you know, indifference. You sort of intuit what's acceptable and how much of a move they can make and how fast, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Naivete expects people to make moves that are antithetical to their endemic culture. Also, changes take time. You know, we talked about the shift in the relationship of women in the business world. You know, it took a decade or two. So the same with slavery. It took 100 years. You know, the equality, depending on color, took, you know, a century or so. Now, many of these shifts that people want to make take a century or so. So compassion for others means to allow them to grow at a rate that's comfortable and not disruptive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, how fast they can learn, what their interest is in learning, what their capacity is. I mean, we do that with children. We don't just force them to suddenly do calculus, you know, when they haven't finished geometry yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we try to do sometimes. Diplomatically force another culture, which has been that way, you know, for 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. They've been that way 1,000 years. And you know, you want them to change, you know, this year.
Right.
Next election.